aggressive than Mandingo. More shocking than Behind the Green Door. More erotic than Deep Throat.
Hi, this is Herb Katz, and welcome to Dial a Dork, the Cleveland radio home for nerds, geeks, and dorks. For the next hour, we'll take your calls about your crashed computer, your hung-up software, your level 17 paladin, or whatever geek-worthy topic you have in mind. Call us at 216-578-1300 and let the Dial a Dork community assist you. And now, here's your Cleveland dorks.
Say that I'm a nerd.
Y'all ready for this?
All right, here we go. This is your premiere edition of Dial a Dork.
I'm your host, Irving Katz. I am here with Russ Miller, Matt Minar.
What's up, y'all?
And we've got Senor Crapple, Doug Cassidy, on the line.
Hello.
Doug, are you there?
I am here.
Terrific. All right, look, I'm making an adjustment here. I am no radio professional, but apparently I was on the wrong mic the entire time. Can you believe that?
Oh.
Yeah, all right, so here, everybody say hi. Russ, say hi.
Hello, Cleveland.
Matt, say hi.
Hello, Cleveland.
And Doug, one more time.
It's good for you to hear my voice.
Excellent. Okay, so let's just go ahead and get started here. First order of business, let's just thank everyone for tuning in, all 13 of you. I appreciate it very much. We all do. And, I've got right here on my script, before we go any further, let me introduce you. I guess we already did that. Missing tonight, unfortunately, because he is on vacation with his girlfriend in Honduras, of all places,
is
Dan Overton, the master Googler. And he's not here, so, you know, whatever. Russ will probably be taking his place, seeing as how I couldn't make my laptop function properly so far.
Oh, that's a great first impression for the show.
That's instant beautiful credibility right there. Welcome to Dial a Dork. You can call us, 216-578-1300. You can email us at dorks@dialadork.com. And let's just get this out of the way right now. It's Dial a Dork with hyphens. Dial-a-dork.com. Dial a Dork with hyphens.
That's
all right? Is everybody clear on that?
Russ? No, I didn't get that.
I'm perfectly
you do
clear.
That one more time?
Okay.
Please.
Dial a Dork with hyphens. www.dial-a-dork.com.
Right, they'll be able to read it on the website.
Oh, right. Okay, good. That's right. So you can go to the website, www.dial-a-dork.com with hyphens. You can email us at dorks@dialadork.com with hyphens. And you can call us at 216-578-1300 with hyphens.
And I'm looking at the site. You really have me listed as Senior Crapple.
We actually do have you listed as Senior Crapple, and Matt was clever enough to capitalize the A in Crapple.
That was me.
Oh, that was Russ. Sorry.
Credit where credit's due.
Sorry. I bring the clever.
I got the tilde
Matt
on
the
end. How about that?
Excellent. Before we go any further, let's thank our sponsor, the Comm Group. That's K-O-M-M Group, the Comm Group. And the Comm Group specializes in in-home and in-office computer consulting and service. Windows, Linux, workstations, servers, websites, networking, blah, blah, blah. We do it all. Our philosophy is based on the teach a man to fish theory. When we fix it, we teach you how to do it for yourself the next time. And Comm Group is a virtual company with almost no overhead, and they pass those savings on to you with rates as low as $50 an hour. You know, try
virtual company. I like that.
Virtual company. We're almost a company.
Yeah, virtually there.
And www.commgroup.com or 216-556-0141. That's 216-556-0141. Or you can email info@commgroup.com. That's K-O-M-M group. And
I think they know how to get hold of us now.
Okay, good. And one more shameless plug here. We would like to thank our preferred ISP.
I can't wait till this list gets really long.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure the first quarter of the show is just going to be...
It's just going to be us.
Shameless money-raising activities. Okay, but in all seriousness, we would like to thank our preferred ISP, VisionNet, who has graciously provided the show with internet connectivity. VisionNet provides network consulting, website development, web hosting, T1 service, dial-up service, and VoIP telephone systems, sales, and support. And VoIP is all the rage, I'm told. For all your technology needs, contact VisionNet at 216-619-8638 or 1-800-645-9351 or by going to www.visn.net. They're local, you guys, so don't send your money out of Cleveland. Call VisionNet. And, okay, well, it looks like, before we go any further, on line two, and this should prove once and for all, if there's ever any question, that I am a complete dork, my mom is on the phone. So go ahead and patch her through.
Hi.
Hi, Mom.
Hello. How you doing?
Fine.
Good. Well, you know, I had this horrible experience with my printer yesterday, and I really appreciate your helping me with it, but I just thought maybe we could relive it for your vast listening audience, because this could happen to somebody else.
Well,
maybe
sure.
Learn a lesson from me.
There, anybody out there could, right in the middle of a print job, realize they loaded the wrong paper and yank the paper out of the printer in the middle of printing, thereby...
Exactly.
Crashing the printer, crashing the print spooler, and
generally making
everywhere.
A mess of the thing.
And my mom was, she at that point figured she was out $50 to $100, had to go buy a new printer and God knows what else. But as it turns out, a few reboots of the printer, as it were, turning off the power to the printer. And then
That button down for a while.
Yeah. pull the power on the printer. And, okay, here's what we did, if you recall, Mom. What we did was we used, my mom has Windows XP home, and what we did was we used the Microsoft Management Console, okay, which a great way to get to that is on your desktop, the My Computer icon, you right-click on it, and you select Manage, okay, and that brings up a console. And inside that console, at the bottom of the tree on the left, is something called Services. It might have a... kind of a peculiar, I might say like WMI and services or something silly. Okay, services and applications. Okay, services underneath that. And inside services there is a service called Print Spooler. Basically, you just highlight the Print Spooler, you right-click on it and select Stop, and you'll see a little progress bar and it should stop. And then what you got to do is you got to navigate to on your C drive or wherever Windows is installed. C, find the Windows directory. Inside that, the System32 folder. Inside that, there's a spool folder. And inside that, there's a printers folder. And what you got to do is delete everything inside that printers folder. There are going to be objects stuck in there that can't get out. Then go back to the management console, restart the service, and you should be able to print. Isn't that right, Mom?
That's exactly what happened.
Irv, that was fine. That was a beautiful explanation.
But actually, it was really scary when that printer was like throwing itself around my desk.
Oh, that's true. It's an HP printer, is it not?
Yes, it is, and it's practically brand new, as you know.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So I was really nervous that I had broken this brand new printer.
Yeah, it's a really strange printer. It's kind of this low profile printer, and for whatever reason, when it's not happy, the print head will literally slide from side to side and slam into the sides of the chassis. It will literally move the printer
that's
on the counter.
That's a feature, not a bug.
Yeah, that's a feature. It does its own percussive maintenance, I think, is what we can...
Throw back to the old typewriter days.
That's
and
right.
See the wheel spinning
that's
across.
Right.
Carriage return.
Well, anyway, thanks for yesterday, and thanks for reviewing that. Case it ever happens again, but I don't think I'll be pulling the paper out from the front anymore.
Yeah, I mean, just let it finish, folks.
That's good advice up and down the computer world.
Just let
patience.
It finish.
Don't double click.
Paper.
Don't grab the paper.
What's that, Doug?
It's one piece of paper.
Yeah, really. I mean, even if it's your very expensive company letterhead, just let it finish. And
good
I think
thought.
You'll be better
good
off.
Advice.
All right.
All right, thanks a lot. Good luck, guys.
Love you, Mom.
Nice.
Oh, she got cut off. Oh, she got cut off.
No love.
Oh, I forgot to mention that we have the architect, a.k.a. Yoko, on the phones. And Yoko, who's my wife, just slammed her mother-in-law, basically. All right. No
Very
big
nice.
Deal. No subtext there. No politics there. Okay, we've got another call. Spam call from... What is a spam call?
Hopefully it's not spam for us.
She's probably
going
to try to sell us something.
Her problem.
I hope
mail
she's got something about
something
male enhancement. Yeah, male enhancement or girls that really want me. Hot girls.
You're married.
I need a Rolex
Cindy?
Watch.
Cindy, are you there?
Much.
Cindy, are you there?
I'm here, dork.
Good wow. evening, Cindy.
Hi, Cindy.
That's just brazen. I don't know if it's been called so proudly, called a dork before.
All right, so what's your trouble?
Hey, I get a lot of spam. Do you have any suggestions on cutting down on spam? What kind of filters or rules I should use?
There's all kinds of things out there. The
program?
The anti-spam market has exploded because
I'll
the amount of spam has exploded.
Air, okay?
What's that?
I'll take my answer off the air.
Oh, I see. Fair you don't enough. Want to engage in banter?
Cell phone minutes.
No banter for me, but I'm interested in your answer.
Well, you've got a world-class giggle, you know.
Well, thanks.
All right, listen.
All right. So here's the deal. Go ahead. Say something, Matt.
Something.
All right. No,
spam is seriously an issue for everybody. The email programs that are available nowadays, such as Mozilla's Thunderbird, one of my favorites, have built-in filters which will learn as you get email. It's as simple as telling the program that you got a junk email, and it adapts, learns from your behavior, keeps track of all that stuff, and will automatically get rid of it for you on the fly. One of the other things that I like to recommend is watch where you put your email in address, you know, on websites, people. They store that stuff, you know, they're collecting it.
Yeah, there's really two ways to attack it, from the, you know, before preventative measures and then once you get it. Because we all end up there, no matter how hard we fight, with too much spam.
Changing your email address every couple of years doesn't hurt either.
Yeah, that helps. And I would suggest that... You can do what several of my acquaintances have done, which is go out and get your own domain name from one of the commercial registers out there.
I hear Con Group registers domain names for the users.
Do we really?
Oh yeah.
Oh sure. Well, we'll do anything really. we're whores. All right. Let's put it this way. All right. You can go out and get your own domain name. So you can get www.cindy.com, and then you get your email address, cindy@cindy.com. But you're probably going, if you use someone like, what do they call, iPowerWeb or something like that, they give you like 200 email accounts you can create under your domain. So you could make emails every single time you put your email address out there somewhere, every time you register for a product. Let's say you register for Norton Antivirus, you could register with the email address norton@cindy.com. And then you can kind of start to trace where your spam is coming from, who is who's giving, you know, who's sending you spam, how are you getting it. You'll notice, and you can then filter against
filters,
those.
Yeah.
You know, you can tell your email program, okay, any email that comes to norton@cindy.com, send it to junk.
Yeah.
And then you won't even see anything, because anything Norton's going to send you, oh, okay, I'm not going to defame Norton here, but I'm just suggesting that perhaps anything you might get because of that registration might be spam. So that's one way to fight it. Outlook also, the later versions of Outlook also has some, you know, you can right-click on a message in the header listing and say mark as junk.
Yeah, so you can actively do that. There are the options for various programs which will learn on their own. And there are there's a lot of online services that do their filtering because they get such large amounts of spam, you know, Yahoo, Gmail. Their filters are very well tuned. I use Gmail, and its
yeah,
spam is
that's
really
true.
Good.
That's true. That's a great point. And I just want to, Russ and Matt, maybe you could comment for a second, and then we're going to head out to a quick break. Can you tell us about Spam Assassin? Is that something that like corporate users can use on the back end if they're using like a, is it Linux or what is it? You guys know anything about Spam Assassin?
Well, I mean, a company, mostly a company.
keep talking.
The sorry, lost my train of thought there. Spam Assassin is a tool that will filter. Let's say Yahoo would be using Spam Filter, Spam Assassin, to filter their mail. A particular corporate company would be able to put that in place to do it in the same way.
Okay.
And Spam Assassin is one of the learning invasion type filters.
And so you say Spam Assassin is at the server.
Exactly. It's a server.
So you can do it for a whole company.
Mm-hmm.
Right there at the server level.
Absolutely.
All right.
I mean, you can install a server at home. I don't know if our users are doing that, but hey, Com Group will do it for you.
We sure will. All right, it looks like we're going to get one more phone call in here before we go to break. Emma is on line 3. Emma's got a problem with pop-up ads. Is that true, Emma?
Yes.
Oh, hello, Emma.
Hello.
Okay, Emma, what seems to be the trouble?
Well, every time I'm on the computer, I'm like probably on Quizzilla.com, and I also got Starlight on. Well, I always have these pop-up ads that seem to come up, like, for Sprint, and, like, congratulations, you won the cell phone. Click this, and you can win, like, $100, blah, blah. Vote for Bush. Vote for Kerry. Like, well, that was, like, back in the voting and polls. And
well, sure. Like, I've seen one recently that wants to know if Bush is doing a good job. Do you get that?
That's a good pop-up.
Do you get that one?
Answer that one.
Well, Emma, let me ask you a very important question, because there's two, in my mind, there's two kinds of pop-up ads. There's the kind of pop-up ad that you get when you go to a web page, and then there's the type of pop-up ad you get when you're not even surfing, and all of a sudden, boom, there's a pop-up ad in the middle of your computer screen, or many. So let me ask you, when you get these pop-up ads, is it when you're surfing, or is it just whenever?
It just happens. I don't know why.
Spyware.
Yeah, it could be spyware, and this is...
God...
I mean, I think that I think I've paid my mortgage for the last 3 months just removing spyware. I think what you've got, Emma.
Well, wait a minute. Let's cover both sides.
Let's cover both sides.
First one, you know, because it's a little bit easier. Pop-up ads when you actually go to a website. So let's throw out
Google Toolbar.
Well, that's one of the main ones. But let's throw out something even more basic. Get off of IE.
Oh, jeez.
That's absolutely true.
All right.
Let's get onto Firefox. You never see them. It's
really, really
but
well done.
Amen, that's all I got to say about that.
Let's not encourage Emma. How old are you, Emma?
What?
How old are you?
I am 9 going on 10.
All right, so look.
Well,
she's
the admin at home.
Well, I know, but I don't know if she should be installing new software on mom and dad's. Is this
Absolutely.
Your computer or your parents' computer?
She can educate her parents about
computer.
This.
Oh, it's your computer.
Snap.
Yeah, oh, well, in that case,
right.
You can install whatever you want. Well, then
she
you want to go...
She is her own sysadmin.
You want to go and you want to install a program called... What's it called?
Mozilla Firefox.
Mozilla Firefox. It's a different web browser than Internet Explorer, and it blocks pop-up ads.
Automatically.
Yeah. I haven't seen one in months.
You know, it's less vulnerable to those fun little spyware programs automatically installing themselves in the background when you're not even aware of what's going on.
So what do you think about that, Emma? Do you think you could go find Mozilla Firefox and install it?
I think I can do that.
Would you be willing to use a different Internet browser than Internet Explorer?
Sure.
I mean, you're not in love with Internet Explorer,
like
are you?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you are?
Oh,
well,
why?
If you are in well, you know, it's easy. People are used to it. She's already set in her ways.
Emma, you're only 9. You can't be set in your ways yet.
Well, look, if you're willing to try a new Internet browser, we suggest that Mozilla Firefox will help prevent the pop-ups. But if you want to stick with Internet Explorer, you should install the Google Toolbar. So go to www.google.com. And it's not entirely clear when you go to that website how to get the Google Toolbar. You actually have to click on the More. I think there's a link along the top there that says More. It says Web, Images, Groups, News, Frugal, and then More. Okay, you with me so far, Emma?
Pretty, yeah.
Okay, so you click on More. You scroll down. And at the bottom of the page is something called Google Toolbar, and it looks like two kind of googly eyes is the icon, and you kind of click there and kind of follow the instructions from there and get that installed on your Internet Explorer, and that will help block some of the pop-ups, not all, but some. And
all right,
then,
well,
of course, we got to talk about SpyBot and AdAware, but we'll do that when we come back.
Yeah.
When we come back from a break, we'll talk about that. So, Emma, you listen to the next segment of the show, and we'll start talking about Spybot and Attaware and how that can get you out of that little sticky situation, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much, Emma, for calling. All right, call next week.
Hi, I'm nobody in particular, and I'd like to ask you a question. Are you dissatisfied with your current IT service provider? And by that I mean, is your computer guy a jerk? Are you paying $100 an hour, $125 or more for IT service? In other words, is your computer guy ripping you off? Does your computer guy leave more problems than he fixes? Essentially, does he know what the heck he's doing? Call the Comm Group today and get the level of service you desire at the price you deserve, with in-home rates as low as $50 an hour and in-office rates as low as $75. That's K-O-M-M Group at 216-556-0141. That's 216-556-0141 or kommgroup.com. Don't be scared. Call the Comm Group.
Hey, would you like to get rich quick?
Well, we're sorry, we can't help you with that. But when you listen to the Stark Group Live talking real estate at their new time, 6 p.m. Tuesday evenings, you can learn how real estate is the key to building your fortune carefully over time. Join Brian and Paul Stark for the Stark Group Live talking real estate, now heard Tuesday evenings at 6 p.m. They'll teach you the art of success in real estate investing. You can call in with your questions or tell everybody about a property that you have for sale on the Stark Group Live, exclusively on AM 1300 WER.
If you're over 50, this message is for you. Over time, if undetected, colorectal cancer becomes a killer. But screening tests can find it early when treatment is most effective. Even better, this is one cancer you can prevent. Screening finds precancerous polyps that can be removed before they turn into colorectal cancer. So stop this disease. Talk to your doctor about getting tested.
Medicare and most insurance plans help pay for colorectal cancer screening. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
WERE 1300 AM Radio. Every afternoon, you can enjoy the music and the entertainers who play and sing the songs you relate to. The songs to bring back special times of your life. We call it simply Your Songs. Brought to you by the original mattress factory location nearest you.
Your Songs, Monday through Friday, 1 to 5 p.m., only on AM 1300 WERE.
Down goes Frazier!
Jackie Robinson is being pummeled by his teammates, congratulated!
Walter Payton becomes the National Football League all-time leading rusher, surpassing Jim Brown.
Back to throw Montana. Stepped up, throws.
Let the Tiger Woods coronation begin officially.
Great men have made great moments in American history. Tune in to Sports Wrap 1300 Monday through Friday at 11 p.m. here on WERE.
My mommy has multiple sclerosis.
If you think it's hard to say, imagine living with the debilitating effects of multiple sclerosis. We're the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. Call 1-800-FIGHT-MS.
When you went to Adams, you might have been called a spaz, or a dork, or a geek.
We know you're not on the phone with a girl, so call us instead at 216-578-1300. And now, back to Dial-A-Dork.
All right,
nerds!
Nerds! Okay, so look.
Someone needs the nickname Lamar.
Little old me.
I'm not
Lamar.
Volunteering.
Oh, you're not volunteering? All right, wait.
Maybe we can have him on a guest, you know, segment or something.
Sweet. All right, well, look, let's clear up that little spyware, adware, malware issue that we talked about with Emma before the break. Okay, look. I mean, Microsoft just released a spyware tool, so you know that this is serious.
Yeah. And there's money to be made.
And there are
why
a number
does that
of
justify it being serious.
Well, look, when Redmond gets involved, it's serious, whether you like it or not, buddy.
When Redmond gets involved, it means they're falling behind.
When Redmond gets involved, it all means right, there's money right. to be made
the
there
solutions?
Somewhere.
All right, fine. There's
anyway,
like, there's,
regardless,
there's like 10 or 12 commercial. Oh my God, thank you so
God
much.
God bless you.
Thank you so much. Yoko slash architect slash Dory. She brought us water. Excuse. Oh my God, this is delicious.
All right, well, while he's doing
right.
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Ad aware.
And Doug, are you still with us?
I'm still with you, but I'm in a hotel room and I can't get water from your wife.
We'll send her right over.
There might be some room service people who could help you. You know,
Doug, you want to take spyware?
Spyware. I'm glad you asked. You know, because I was very curious. We've talked about how to prevent all these pop-ups. So what about the damage that's already done? That's what I'm curious about. Personally, I downloaded a free application that really cleaned up my system, and it's just called Adware. And there's a personal edition out there that's free. You can just grab it off the internet. Just use that Google toolbar to search for the Adware, and then download it. Run it, and then things are happening. You'll find that many things have been happening on your computer that you were not aware of.
That's right. The product Adware, which Doug was talking about, is available at lavasoftusa.com. LavasoftUSA.com. You can also get it at like download.com if you just search for Adware at CNET's download.com. The beautiful thing about Adware is for home use, it's completely free, just like Doug said. And what you got to do, though, the most important thing, it's just like antivirus. When you run the program, you got to update it. These things cannot predict the future. They have to be updated. It's a race. It's a race between the people who make Adware and the people who make spyware, okay? So you have to check for updates first, all right? Get the updates, then run the scan, and then, okay, and here's the little trick, is at the end of the scan, it's going to list everything that it found. And this could be, I've seen as little as 20 or 30 items. I've seen as many as 1,500.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Right,
and each one of them has a checkbox next to them. Well, you can just right-click somewhere in the window and say select all objects. Boom.
I knew I'd learned something on this show. They just saved me a lot of
right.
work.
Just right click, it'll say select all objects. You can select all objects and then delete them. It can take a while, and here's something else to remember, especially on a Windows a PC, which I think is actually the only platform which you can run Adware. I'm not sure, but I think that's true. Some of the spyware has inculcated itself. Okay.
Is that even a
if
word?
You have to.
I think it's a word. I don't know what it means.
Yeah,
I've heard
majors.
It.
Russ, you need to hit dictionary.com on that one.
Yeah, okay.
If we can spell it.
Inculcated. I-N-C-U-L.
How about infested?
C-8. Well, what I'm trying to say is it's kind of intertwined itself with the program called Explorer. Okay. Explorer is a program on Windows, and it's kind of the platform for all the programs you run. And these things, when programs are running in Windows, you can't delete them. You can't delete their files because they're in use, as Windows will tell you. This is an important protection that Windows uses so that I don't know why.
Yeah,
but
don't
the point
get into
is
that.
You can't delete
the point
files
is you
that
can.
Are in
yeah.
use. Okay, so when Adware goes to kill these files and delete them, sometimes it has to crash your computer. And so your toolbar will disappear, Explorer will crash, you'll get all kinds of crazy messages, and things might look dire for a minute there. Have patience. You
Faith.
Will be rewarded. Wait. If you have more than a few hundred items to clear up, it could take 5 to 10 minutes for that process to complete.
Easy.
Literally.
And quite frankly, you might have to run it a second time.
And when you're done running Adware, go download SpyBot. It's the same kind of program. You have to update it, and then you run that also. Adware does some things well.
So.
That's right. Adware does some things well. SpyBot does some things well. Together, they pretty much do it all. And none of the commercial products can beat the combination of those two. So Adware and SpyBot. And that's what you do. And that's what I've been doing for my for Comm Group clients. And they're pretty happy.
And if you're brave, you can try Microsoft. Just released one last week.
Yeah. All right. Look, we got another call. Alicia on line 3 is looking for an affordable laptop. Is that correct, Alicia?
That is correct, Irv.
All right. Well, can you tell me what is it that you want your laptop to do? Like, do you want it to be a replacement for your desktop computer, or do you want it to be little and cute, or do you want to watch DVDs on it? I mean, what do you intend to do with the laptop?
Well, I'm looking for it as my main computer.
So it's got to have some decent performance.
Well, that depends on what she does with her main computer.
What do you do with your main computer?
Are you a student?
Oh, I'll go into chat rooms and maybe some download some music and stuff.
Okay. Image editing? You mostly just emailing? Are you what are you actively doing there?
Emailing and going into chat rooms and things.
Well, here's another question, and you don't have to answer if you don't want to. But how much can you spend on a laptop? What's your budget?
Let's ask another question first, too.
Oh, go ahead, Matt.
Why do you want a laptop instead of a desktop for your main machine? You didn't mention portability.
Easier to take care of.
What's that?
Easier to maintain.
I don't know about that.
Well, I mean,
you are talking to nerds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, laptops often use a lot more specialized equipment, and things break more often and are more expensive to fix on laptops. But yeah, obviously,
and laptops cost more.
They do.
And they have less, worse performance than desktops. They cost more. They're more fragile. And yeah, and just like Russ said, the repair costs are actually
higher,
much higher. Nevertheless, they have that one crucial advantage, which is you can pick it up and take it to your friend's house, take it to the coffee shop, take it to school, take it to work, do whatever you want to do. So is that important to you, Alicia, to be able to take your computer with you someplace?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, well,
yeah,
all
why
right.
not? All right, let's get a laptop.
Let's
then.
Get a laptop here.
Well, since let me just say this: since you are only trying to do some, I take it you're going to do some internet surfing, some emailing, and maybe like word processing and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you don't actually need to get a top of the line laptop even a brand new laptop.
We're in a really good space right now where laptops and computer speed in general is way ahead of most people's usage. So you don't need the high-end gaming system. You don't need that.
That's right. And if you're comfortable using a machine or buying a machine that's been refurbished, and this is a very important term that people should remember, if you're comfortable using a term or a laptop that's been refurbished, which means it's gone to a shop or it's gone to a factory, and it's been repaired and put back to factory conditions. If you're comfortable with that, and it usually comes with a good warranty, save a ton of money.
In my mind, refurb has been through QA twice. They almost certainly fixed the problem that was there. So
that's right. So, and if you're comfortable shopping on eBay, you can find some tremendous deals on some low-end laptops, some fast Pentium 2s or slow Pentium 3 laptops you can get for $200, $300, $400. If you buy it from someone with a really high feedback rating of like 98%, 99% or higher, you can actually get a really fantastic and functional laptop for just a couple of hundred dollars. And, you know, or you can go to Dell's, I think it might be like outlet.dell.com or something like that, and they have all their refurbished equipment.
Absolutely.
And you can get some pretty decent laptops there for like $600, $700, $800. And you know what? To be perfectly honest, brand new laptops are like $600, $700, $800. So if you've got that much to spend, you know, poke around. Dell, Toshiba, HP, who else? Sony?
I'd say IBM, but they're usually IBM. The higher priced
IBM. Yeah, but I think they have some entry level laptops too.
E-machines.
E-machines. Do they make laptops?
I don't know.
Hey, Doug, how much are?
I heard we might be getting an affordable Mac.
Where's
coming
our master
out. Yeah, is that going to happen?
Well, yeah, Doug. What about an affordable Mac laptop?
There is no such thing.
Oh,
is that a yet thing or?
Macs are the most expensive thing you can buy. It's the BMW of computers, as far as I'm concerned.
It's not really. Is it really the BMW? Is it more like the Audi? Or like nobody really has one. They're just sort of.
they're really
nice, and you see one every now and then on the road, but it's not like, you know.
I've seen them on Drew Carey.
All right, let's get back to this at hand. I mean, you can get a low-cost laptop at a lot of different places. eBay is a great place.
Yeah.
Watch your buying experience. You
yeah,
know, buyer
be really careful. But, you know, there's
you
a
know,
lot of...
The refurbished places are A1. You know, Dell makes a great does
that's
great
right.
things with
that's
that.
That's right. And you know where else?
MicroCenter.
MicroCenter or like TigerDirect.com or Buy.com or any of those kind of PC Surplus Online. All these guys are refurbishing laptops, and they have great deals. Or they have great deals on last year's laptop. Are you still there, Alicia?
I'm still here.
Hey, Alicia, I was curious. Do you still listen to Andrew W.K.? It's my cousin. As I figured it out halfway through this discussion. This is my
nice.
Cousin, Alicia, she's in love with Andrew W.K., aren't you?
Oh, yeah, right.
All right, whatever. All right, well, cool. Cool, Alicia. I really appreciate the question because that was a really good discussion. And call me later, and I'll help you out.
All right.
All right, love you.
Love you, too. Bye.
Congress comes to the rescue again.
Yeah, I know. It's our first show, okay? I got my family and friends calling in all kinds of stuff. And oopsie-daisy. All right, so I think we're about to go into another break, are we not?
Already?
Believe it or not, we are.
My God, Irv, you're just talking away here.
What you that's just me. You and Doug even got into the mix.
Yeah, I want to jump in. The best thing you can do when you're buying a computer is financing. Get yourself in trouble immediately.
Exactly.
Finance.
More Doug. Monthly payments, please.
Actually, you know what? Doug made a great point. If you are a student, you've got to take advantage of your college or university's buying programs.
Oh, you're absolutely right. All right. We're out.
All right, we're out.
Hi, I'm nobody in particular, and I'd like to ask you a question. Are you dissatisfied with your current IT service provider? And by that I mean, is your computer guy a jerk? Are you paying $100 an hour, $125 or more for IT service? In other words, is your computer guy ripping you off? Does your computer guy leave more problems than he fixes? Essentially, does he know what the heck he's doing? Call the Comm Group today and get the level of service you desire at the price you deserve, with in-home rates as low as $50 an hour and in-office rates as low as $75. That's KOMM Group at 216-556-0141. That's 216-556-0141 or kommgroup.com. Don't be scared. Call the Comm Group.
Hello. This is Garcelle Beauvais Nylon. You may know me from NYPD Blue and the Jamie Foxx Show. Everyone wants respect, but it can be hard when you're dealing with something people don't understand, like epilepsy, also called seizure disorders. Epilepsy affects 2.5 million Americans, including teens and children. Epilepsy is a medical condition. It's not contagious, and it can be treated. In fact, most people with epilepsy work, attend school, and have loving relationships and live full and active lives just like you. They must deal with their seizures and the reactions of people around them, but they don't want to be labeled by their seizures. People with epilepsy want to live their lives just like we all do. And just like us, they deserve respect. To learn more, visit epilepsyfoundation.org or call 1-800-332-1000. 1-800-332-1000.
Every Wednesday at 10 a.m., join Barb Storch on People Power WERE 1300 AM. Barb interviews our area's most influential people from all walks of life. If you want to know what's going on in the greater Cleveland area, then you need to listen to Barb Storch each Wednesday at 10 a.m. here on People Power WERE 1300 AM. WERE, we're the talk of Cleveland.
Check it out, Cleveland. WERE has got sports all wrapped up. That's right. Tune in to Sports Wrap 1300 every night at 11 here on WERE. It's a hip, fast-paced, in-depth look at the sports world from local to national, amateur to professional. We've got something to say about everything, and I'm sure you do, too. We'll put it down live on the air Monday through Friday, 11 to midnight, with exciting interviews, up-to-the-minute sports reports, and our radio roundtable keeps the ball bouncing. To join in, tune in weeknights at 11 and call 216-578-1300, Sports Wrap 1300.
I watch you drink, and I fear for our future.
I love you, and my heart aches with sadness.
I don't understand you.
I want to have a life again.
We know what you feel because we've been there. Call 888-4-ALANON.
Why do you think you're a dork? I don't think you're a dork.
We know you're not on the phone with a girl, so call us instead at 216-578-1300. 1300. And now, back to Dial-A-Dork.
And we're back! Alright, we've got an email from quote-unquote Don out there.
Yeah, so listen at home.
Don, who might or might not be the total and complete inspiration for this show ever happening in the first place. Thank you, Don. And Don's question is...
Well, he writes to Dorks and says, when I set up a LAN and share folders on a pair of XP boxes, Outlook PST folders will not open across the network. I get a permission error despite the fact that every other file in that folder can be opened. What do I do?
Okay, may I just say one thing? He said opened, but can he create a file?
That's right.
In that directory? You must have read and write privileges to use a PST file, if I'm not mistaken.
No, you're not mistaken. That's absolutely correct.
And Matt, you were saying that you can definitely use PST files over a network?
I've seen it done. Companies do it. They'll store their Outlook files on a network, map a drive to it, and that's how people get access to those things. For backup purposes, you can't beat it.
One thing I've also noticed on XP is that the sort of documents and settings folders that are specific to the different profiles. So when you go into documents and settings and you see all the different folders in there for the different users on the machine, those folders can be marked as private. That was one thing that I've found, and it's made some tasks like folder synchronization and things like that a little bit tricky, especially if you have Service Pack 2 installed. So you might want to poke around and look for something called Mark as Private and unmark it. Because if you're going to be sharing it across a network, it would probably not do well to be private.
Yeah.
Therein lies the rub. Hopefully that will solve the problem for you, Don. But if it doesn't solve the problem, you're always free to call the comm group. And
at your service.
We can charge you our hourly rate to solve it for you. No question about
very,
it.
Very, very reasonable.
We've got hourly another rate. Caller, someone by the name of Jen. And she...
Yes.
Hello, Jen.
Hi, Jen.
Hello, Dial-A-Dork.
All right.
I recognize this voice as well, I must admit.
You're giving away all our secrets
and
the chills.
I don't think you should tell people that you recognize their voice.
All right, I won't tell people that this is my sister.
Let's just pretend, okay? Fantasy land here.
All right, no one will know that this is my sister, Jen. Jen, state your question.
Okay, well, so this question is not nearly as sophisticated as the previous question, but basically I do a lot of... shopping online, and I like shopping online, and I'd like to do more, but I do have some security concerns, so I was just wondering, like, what do I need to do to make sure I'm as safe as I can be when I'm shopping online?
That's a fantastic question. Wireless security is
Is this
huge.
Wireless? Because Dory put something... Okay,
yeah,
so you're surfing wirelessly?
Yes.
All right. It's your credit card information is...
It's out there.
It's out in the air.
It's ready to be grabbed.
Yeah. Well, Matt, now, I think Matt has
a few salient
points here.
That's not necessarily true. While you're surfing, if the websites that you're putting sensitive information into are SSL encrypted, that at least is an encrypted stream of traffic over your wireless.
How do I know that a website is encrypted? Like
that
is a great question,
there's
too.
There's a cute little lock in the lower right-hand corner of your browser below... the browser window and that bottom bar of like Internet Explorer, status bar. That's correct.
Come on.
In the lower right, I'm sorry. In the lower right hand corner, if you're on a secure channel with that particular website, there'll be a little yellow lock, looks like a little master lock.
Okay.
And if you see that,
I actually see that. Okay.
Okay,
yeah.
You're on an encrypted. You're on an encrypted connection with that website, and there is some protection. I'm sure it's not foolproof, but...
SSL is pretty good.
SSL is pretty tough.
It's pretty tough?
It's about what you can get these days.
Yeah.
Okay.
And really, I mean, even past the wireless, you want to be doing your online commerce via SSL.
Yeah,
you really don't.
Patronize an institution that does not offer you SSL encryption.
I can't imagine there's a single one out there that does
at
this point.
It's very common.
People see 100 million websites. It's out there.
What's that, Doug?
Is there any way I can tell from the website address that it's secure?
Excellent point, Doug.
Doug, wow, that was a total softball. Hit it, man. Hit it out of the park.
Well, I'll tell you what. In that address bar near the top of your web browser that says what site you're on, instead of saying http:, it will say https.
For secure.
For secure.
For secure. It's a wonderful thing.
Okay, now let's address the next part is how can my sister and others like her protect her wireless network? Because, okay, maybe it's not credit card information going over the wireless network. Maybe it's something else of a sensitive nature.
Like what?
Well, I don't, maybe it could be intimate pictures of, the point is.
Love letters?
I don't know what she and her husband, it's none of my business. The point is that. You want to protect your wireless network for a couple of reasons. One, you want to protect your information and what's stored on your network. Two, I don't think you're trying to share your bandwidth with your neighbors, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so what do we do? Well, there's the old tried and true WEP. There's Wireless Encryption Protocol, okay? And this is something that your You would be well suited to go to your access point or wireless router, get the instructions, okay, that came with it, if possible, where you can probably get them at the manufacturer's website. In fact, I'm positive you can. And follow their instructions on how to set up WEP, which is Wireless Encryption Protocol Security. That is a great way to protect, and it's a great way to keep interlopers from getting on your network. There's even newer, stronger, better encryption methods with WKA or something like that.
WPA.
WPA.
And quite honestly, if you can afford the newer equipment, that's what you want to go with.
Yeah.
I would say in the last 6 months,
the tools out there to crack WEP are
easy to get. You know, when it comes to wireless, it's starting to look like, for the time being, that if somebody really wants in, they're going to get in, but you can at least hold back the average schmo at bay. And chances are nobody who's really interested in cracking a wireless network is trying to crack yours.
Right.
But there's something else.
Security through obscurity.
Security through obscurity. That's a beautiful thing.
You can rely on it at home maybe, but for business use, you need something better. Okay. WEP doesn't cut it. WPA might for a while.
Are there any more acronyms we could use?
VPN, actually.
VPN's a wonderful one too.
Virtual private networking, which is you can force, like if you're running a business and you want to implement a wireless networking, you may want to consider forcing all your wireless clients to connect to the network via VPN over the wireless. And you're going to want to consult your IT professional or your IT staff or whoever it is you work with. Perhaps you might hire the Comm Group to do something like that to implement this for you. This is a more serious undertaking. But it's pretty crucial because it's like a layer of encryption on top of a layer of encryption on top of another layer of encryption. And you can also do MAC filtering. I think MAC filtering is a great way to keep people out of your network.
If you want to do a search out there, there's a top 10 list for things you can do on your home access point. Turn off your SSID broadcast.
That's right.
Turn on MAC filtering, all that stuff.
MAC filtering is simply every single network adapter out there has a unique... what do you call it? An address? Unique MAC address, and you can put a list of accepted MAC addresses into your access points and your routers and wireless routers and stuff like that, and they will only allow that MAC address to communicate with the network, so anybody who shows up with some random wireless card won't be able to get in. That is that's what I'm told. Anyway, it seems to work where I've seen it implemented. You got something?
No, I'm just thinking,
All right, well, what do you think about all that, Jen?
I think it sounds good.
I think we exceeded the scope of your original question.
Well, I'm very excited, because now I just need to look for this lock.
Just look for the lock. And
I can buy away.
Oh, that's right. You can spend all of Evan's money.
Shop, shop, shop. That's right.
All right, well, good.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, love
you. Thank
you,
Jen.
Love you, too.
We all love you.
Okay,
all right,
bye-bye.
Thanks, Jenny.
All right.
Well, so there's that.
Before we wrap up for the day, do we want to?
I don't know. I don't know if there's anybody else waiting online or anything like that. But nope. All right, we're gonna do a little group grape here, and this is a little something that I will say that one of the things that nerds, geeks, and dorks like to do more than anything else is complain. And so
constructively,
think of it as a human trait, really.
Yeah. Well, okay. But we really enjoy like all the movie nitpicking and so on and so forth. There's
an obsessive.
And I just want to say that my gripe for the week is that I saw a bumper sticker the other day that read, "Don't meddle in the affairs of dragons, for you are crunchy and go well with ketchup." And needless
to
say,
that's like an anti-dork gripe, is what that sounds like.
I don't know, man. Needless to say, that's not anti-dork. My gripe is that I don't think dragons really use ketchup.
I
no, they probably
the
use barbecue sauce.
Dragon Riders of Pern, isn't it?
Wait, what, Doug?
isn't that a quote from Dragon Riders of Pern?
Is it?
Sorry, I think I'm a loser.
Yeah,
no, it very well may be.
Well, the thing is, my gripe is that I'm trying to picture, you know, a 100, 200 foot dragon having charge you to a well-done crispy nugget.
Barbecue sauce. He's got his own grill.
It's
in his mouth.
He's got huge claws. He's not going to, open a little bottle of KC Masterpiece and you know, he's just going to eat you.
What, you mean behind the rabbit?
Man, that's hardcore.
I don't even... Wow. Hang the... Oh, uh-oh, wait a minute. Oh, we got.
Oh God. Wait,
oh no, we've got a.
We got a speed answer.
We got
this
a
one.
Boot error. Boot error. Jim, you've got a boot error. What's the problem?
Hello.
Hello, Jim.
Yes.
What's going on? What's happening?
On booting up my computer, occasionally I would get a disk boot error, and the computer will freeze on just like the black boot up screen. And I replaced the hard drive when I saw that. But I left the old hard drive on the system as a backup,
mm-hmm.
thinking that my hard drive was going bad.
Sure.
But I'm still getting that problem, and I'm wondering, having that old hard drive on there, could that be causing the problem, or do you think it's something else?
Is it still booting from the old hard drive, or is
no,
it?
No, I'm booting from the new hard drive,
okay.
And I don't even have the old hard drive in there as like a backup boot device.
Do you have a, is the disk controller, if you know what I'm talking about, do the big ribbon cables that go from the disk drive, do they go right into the motherboard, or do they go into a separate card?
They go right into the motherboard.
Boy, I wonder if he's got a flaky controller.
Yeah, they terminated at a controller, and those controllers can be replaced if they're cards, but if they're on your motherboard, you're...
Boy, and you said this is an intermittent problem, or it happens
right,
all the
yeah,
time?
Yeah, it's intermittent.
You know what? Have you changed
so
your cables at all?
Pardon?
It could be a cabling issue as well.
I replaced when the new hard drive came with a new cable, so I replaced that.
What's the exact message that you get on the screen when you get the error?
I don't even remember.
Okay.
It says disk boot error.
Is it say disk boot failure?
Yeah, it might be that.
What operating system are you running?
2000 Professional.
Boy, that sounds like a more NT-ish thing than like 95 or 98. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I'll get it, and then it'll happen, you know, four or five times. I'll try to reset the system. It'll be the same error, and then it'll just come up and boot fine.
Position on the cable. Primary IDE drive should be at the...
But if it ever works, then I don't think it's a cabling thing, and I'm not even sure it's the controller.
Could be sunspots. It was the tsunami.
Oh, the tsunami. that's an. Oh, yeah, that's
so having a bad drive just on there.
I don't think that
change
in and of itself is a problem.
Maybe change the from cable to select to master and slave.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. You know what else I'm thinking is okay. And I know this is a crummy thing. If we had Dan the Master Googler on, he would be Googling this like furiously. But I suggest that the next time it happens, okay?
Yeah.
Write down the exact phrase
and Google it.
And take a look around, not only Google on the regular Google, but Google Groups as well.
Okay.
You may discover that you've got a corrupted file like NT kernel or, you know all those little crazy little Windows 2000
mm-hmm.
Startup files. One of those may be corrupted or may be getting corrupted occasionally,
okay.
And you can actually replace those things. You can repair them, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, also one other quick question.
All right, you better go. Better hurry.
We got to wrap.
10 seconds.
On XP, is the screen resolution, is that settable for a specific profile? If you set it, does it go across?
Oh, you know what? I think it goes across profiles. I haven't been able to successfully do that. But I bet you can somewhere. You would think that you would be able to.
You'd think, yeah.
But I set it at home, and it every single profile then... took it. I set it to 1600 by 1200, and it was on all of them.
Okay.
And my wife got all upset and stuff.
All right, we got 10 seconds, so thanks for giving us the stumper to close the show.
Yeah, really.
Thanks,
yeah, really. Yeah, thanks a lot.
All right, well, this has been.
All right.
Volume 1.
Episode 1.
Episode 1.
Yeah, I think it went pretty well, actually.
I want to thank everyone who called.
Yeah, really. Thank you very much.
I want to thank Yoko.
Yoko working the phones, doing a great job.
Give a shout out for Jeremy.
Family.
Oh yeah, give a shout out to Jeremy working
the
board.
Our man on the board.
He's the man. Thank you all very, very much. Tune in next week, 9 o'clock, WERE 1300. And dorks at dialadork.com with hyphens. And anything else I can squeeze in? All right, nothing. All right, everybody, listen to the theme song from The Human Tornado, starring Dolemite, and enjoy. Together, it was love.